that I gave him an ultimatum. And the ultimatum is this: if he do not give his life to Christ, he's going to hell. Wow. I give you an ultimatum as if I can send you to hell. I said, no, you got it wrong. God give you the ultimatum, not me. God said that. I just confirm what he said. If you die without him, you're going to hell. Does it sound judgmental? No, the truth hurts. And the truth will make you cross before it sets you free. Because you see, I have my terms. I have my way to change. And I will not use God's way. And I will not ask him to change me. I can do that. I can use strong willpower to do that. And I can manage. Many try through willpower and they do get it right. But that is just temporary. That is just artificial plastic. It won't last long. And you won't make even heaven with that. Only you, when you hit rock bottom, to find out that God is the rock at the bottom. And I really in desperate need for him to change me. And then I will bow down to his ways, his terms, not mine. It is his kingdom. He's the king of that. He's got his rules. And he enforced that. And that is what we preach and that is what we teach. You accept it or you leave it. I accept it or I leave it. It will make nothing. It won't even change God for who he is. He's still God. He's still righteous. He's still just. He's still perfect in all his ways. And his works are perfect. He is still the rock. He's still faithful and a faithful God. And in him there's no wrong. Doesn't matter what you believe about him. Doesn't matter if you want to conform to his terms. But remember, you will never change the way he wants you to change. You will stay the same. In Psalm 103, verse 7, I want to read it for us here. Just to stress this point. It says here in verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. There's the difference between God's ways and his deeds. What can God do for me? What can he do? And that is what many people are looking for, that God is like a sugar daddy to them. A lucky dip, a lucky packet. God does give me syndrome. God must always give me, give them this. It's one thing also that God loves to give. And we can learn a lot through the giving of God. But for many, it is all that it is there of God, and that is his hand. And through even the Gospels, when I see that Jesus gives and he gives and he gives, that seldomly people come into the kingdom of God. Because they're only looking for him. Searching for him, for what they can get from him. That's why he said in John 6, you can go and read that whole chapter. You don't want to come to me to really eat from the bread of life. You come to me only to have your needs to be met. That's all. You don't really want to follow me for who I am and submit to my terms and conditions. You don't want to do that. And Jesus hit the nail on the head. That's why many left them. Left him. Even Peter said, look at that, they leave you. My paraphrasing. And Jesus said, Peter, do you want to go with too? I'm not going to lower my standard. This is my conditions. Terms and condition apply. It's either you bow down to it or you leave, Peter. I'm not going to change. It's you who have to change. You are in need of me. Us, we are in need of him. It's not the other way around. He don't need us. He don't need us, but he don't want to do it without us. He loves us, but he's not going to change his terms and conditions to suit us. We have to change to meet that terms and conditions. Moses was the one who was looking after his heart, searching after his heart, searching after his ways. How can I know God better? Who are you, Lord? How can you be approached? How can you be worshipped and followed and be obeyed unto you? To be an obedient servant, follower of you. God show him his heart. You won't pick it up in the streets. You need to search for him diligently. Just like David, cry out unto God. I lift my soul unto you, Lord. You are my salvation, my Savior. Yes, I not just only confess that, I submit to that, that you will direct me wholeheartedly. I submit under that. That brings change. That brings the power, because God has the power to change you. God has the power to change your circumstances through you. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, here is something that I want to stand still to, together with what David said. Paul said, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now more, much more in my absence. Listen to this. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now this verse, when you read it like that, it looks like that Paul say, we can earn our salvation by our merits, by what we do. It's not what he say. Then, if he say that, then why did Jesus die? Why is grace there that he said in Ephesians 2 verse 8 that we are saved by grace? We do not earn it. No merits from our side. What is he saying then? That we have to work out our own salvation. I want you to hold fast to your seat. You have no right. We have no right to throw away our lives. Can I make it personal? You have no right. I have no right to throw away my life. We have no right to throw away the life of our families. We have no right. The paradox of this is, the other day I said, we have our lives in our hands and we can kill it, or we can let God make something of what's left. Yes. But to have it in my hands, I have no right to kill it. Because God gives life and Satan takes it. He said that Satan comes to kill and to destroy and to steal. We have no right. If you don't want to make anything of your life, well, don't waste your family's life. Don't throw away your family's life. Because if you're going to throw away yours, you throw away your family's life. You say, work out your own salvation. You and I have a responsibility of my own interest. What is my own interest? My soul. He say, I lift up my soul unto you, Lord. I want to put my soul in the middle of all of this. God is after my soul. And I have no right to throw it away. I have no right to throw my family's life away. Because through me, God wants to save them. He wants to give me the key too, by saving my soul. And he said, you have to come and come to a point of responsibility. Come and take stock of your life in that T-junction where you are there, right there. You have no right. And we think we are the gods of our own life. We are the gods of our family. And we will wipe them out as if we are God and as if we have life and death in our hands. And we do that. And we play God with our own lives. And we play God with the lives of our families. That's why we are in the mess that we are in. God said, you have a responsibility. Paul come and say, you have a responsibility. Your life is at stake here. Your family's life is at stake here. Your future destiny is at stake here. He's got the power to change. He said, when you come to your senses, when you take up your responsibility because of your life that is at stake, he said, with fear and trembling. And that means you have to make a deliberate, calculated decision. Come to my senses like a man and a pigsty, the prodigal son. If I continue with this path of mine, I'm ending and heading for destruction. And who's following me? My family is following me. And their blood is on my hands. You look at the little ones that follow you. Daddy, I'm just following your footsteps. How can you be so harsh at me? I just follow your footsteps, Daddy. You say, with trembling, with fear. Because there's the danger that many make this shipwreck of their hope. Oh, what? There's a song that in our white culture, a couple, they have both of the uncle and the auntie passed away. The Brils in Afrikaans, they sing a song. What shall I do if God left me? What shall I do if I lost my soul? Can I even talk to someone about that? Will it help? You see, the danger lies there that the opinions of my friends and family are much more important than my soul. What God say about it. I listen more to my family and my friends and whosoever out there than to God. You say with fear and trembling because he wants to come in the center of that. Why fear tremble? Because once your soul is lost, it is lost forever. You can't get it back. And that's what we don't want to think about it. And we think we live forever on this place, on this planet. This boat is sinking. And God is after our souls. He's after our families. And He wants us to change. And He's got the power to change us. But we listen more to our bodies out there. And we think that's life. That's death. And we believe the lies of Satan. And you don't want to be warned because it's your life. It's my life. I am the God of my life. Don't warn me. I can do with it whatever I like. We have not the right to do that. And God is going to keep us accountable for it. We have to know this. He creates you for a purpose. He creates us for a purpose. He said it in His Word. And He makes a covenant through Christ to save us to the uttermost and give us a place, inheritance in heaven with Him. He's after your soul. He's after your family. He's after your life. And He wants to change that. That's the hope He wants to give to us. Why? He said, because, verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Man, you don't have to be saved for God to work in your life to bring you at a place like this. Because He wants you to be saved. It is He who works in you. If you can imagine that, He said you will fear and you will tremble because it was God who bring us out of that dunghill. At that shooting spot, He took us out and He bring us here. God, not somebody else. Maybe somebody else brought you here, but behind the scene it was God. That's why we have to do it with fear and trembling, because He wants us to do His will. His purposes shall stand forever. What are we doing? Floating. Think we are the bosses around here and we are the kings here and we will not do this and we will not do that, and man, you know, and I will just do this and that, and it looks like that I'm so spiritual or so religious. But before God has brought me for a purpose, and I need to find out, and I need to find His heart fast. Why? Because when I'm dying without Him, without that purpose, it's lost forever. I can't get it back. I can't get a second chance or another chance. There's no chance beyond death to make right and to find it. Right here, right now. It's Him who work. It's Him to find it and keep on doing it. Why? He say there, listen to this, for His good purpose. And once I've got it, keep on searching. Keep on searching because you ain't seen nothing yet. Don't stop now. Press on. Press on. And press deeper in. Press deeper in. If I could only know this many years ago, and I won't burn my fingers like I did. If there was only someone also to come and shout it in my ears. But God is never too late. Never too late. I want to say that God loves us. He loves you. He loves to see you change to His image. He loves us to see, to change into His image, to in His will, conform. And that's why He deposited the Holy Spirit as a guarantee in our lives to make that change and to transform us progressively, day by day, into His likeness. A love for Him. A hunger for Him. Is he really more than enough for us? Are we really satisfied with him? We pray for revival. I don't think we know what we're praying for. You know, it's like the pastor said, it's like the top break open, it's the bottom we just fall out. It will cost us to change. Because it is he who is at work to do what? To do his will. And then he said to act accordingly. And that will please him. Day by day. Not when I feel like it. Day by day. It will be a hunger for more of you, Lord. You know, many times I wonder myself when we come to this place to come and worship, do we really come prepared? Come with an expectancy. God is going to talk to me. You know, every time before I come, I tune my guitar in. Why do I do that? Do you think I can just as well care less if it is false or not? Because I don't play for you. I play for him. And I want my guitar to be tuned in. And I ask him, tune me in like I tune my guitar in harmony with you, Lord. There's a lot of flaws in my life, Lord. Please help me to get rid of that, to grow out of it, Lord. I prepare my guitar to come. Prepare my heart to come. Because I'm going to be in front of my brothers and sisters together. We're going to sit before you in your presence. If there's anything in my life tonight, Lord, that separates me from you, that you can't speak to me and I can't hear to you, show me that. What is the way you want me to walk, Lord? Teach me. But also, Lord, guide me. When I walk out of these doors, guide me to implement it in my life. I want to change, Lord. One day when I see my family, they can see, wow, is it really you? Oh, they give glory to God because this what you see is God. It's not me. It's not even our mission. It was God who do that. But if we are not willing, God can do nothing. All powerful God can do nothing if we do not let him do that. And that is not an insult on him, because he do not work besides our will. He give us a will. It's either you do or you don't. He don't force himself on us. You have to give it to him. Who's at work in your life? Who's at work? You know who's at work at your life right here, right now. The one that is in work at your life, you bow down to that. And you know, and God knows that. Are we serious? Dead serious. Because my soul is at stake here. You think, many times I think the greatest danger in this mission is that when somebody gives their testimony, you think you have enough time because they take somebody maybe 10 years or like some of the guys was here for so long and then they left. And you think you've got also that time, that length of time. You're going to make a mistake. It don't have to take you 6 years or 4 years or 5 years. No, to make the same mistake, no. Once you did something wrong, you can say it was a mistake. The second time, it's by choice. And some people learn and learn and learn and never come to the truth of knowledge and act upon it and stop doing what they're doing. But we want to change. There's only one that can truly change you. That's God. Your higher power, like the H in hope. It's God. It's not some stone or some deity, some abstract something, wherever they want to be. This is the God of the universe who created this earth and this whole thing in 6 days. Imagine what he can do with your life, huh? If he can create all of this in 6 days. We have a responsibility. Take it up. Let us take it up. Because it is for his good purpose. So that he can be glorified. He said here in Romans 8:24-25, for in this hope we were saved. That's the eternal hope. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And what is that? He said eternity, eternal heaven, eternal bliss with him. We're waiting for him. 6,000 years down the line, the heavens and the earth and everything has been created. Not 6,000 years, he did in 6 days. But for 6,000 years since the creation. 2,000 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're waiting. We're waiting. You see, you wait with hope, an expectation that will not disappoint, because he said it will come. Just be patient. He said, for this we live for. This we've been saved for. This is what we live for. What is the object of this hope? It is Christ himself. And then I close with this. Hebrews 10:36 saying, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Don't give up. Don't quit. We will keep on progressively be transformed till the day we lay down our heads. Or, by the grace of God, when he come on the clouds and we are still alive, we will wait, patiently persevere. Don't give up. Your life is at stake. My life is at stake. God has invested in Jesus Christ to give us what he promised. And he who promised that will not say, oops, I make a mistake. No. He said, you're going to get it. You will not be disappointed. On earth you might have a lot of disappointments and a lot of bad days and that you wish you want to go home. Well, your time is not over yet. Mine is not over yet. Let's glorify him. Allow him to walk all the way with you. And he will transform you. Don't tell him how he must do it. Bow down to his terms and his conditions. Because the hope that your family have is that when you return, you will be a changed man, a changed woman. Mamas will receive godly boys, godly sons back, and daughters. These wives are waiting for husbands to return, godly husbands. Men waiting for their wives to return as godly women. Only if you allow him to change you. May God bless his word in our hearts. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. I wish I could scream it out for the whole world. But I pray, Lord, that as we walk out of here, and for those who listen to the radio, walk away from the radio after they listen to the programs that they want to, that your word will not turn void to you. Because you said it will never turn void. It will do what it has been sent out for. And that you will be glorified and it will bear fruit for your glorification. May this one prayer of us will be like David in Psalm 25 verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths and guide me. The show, the teach, and the guide. For change, biblical change, for your glory. Be the after speaker of your word, we ask it in Jesus' name.